Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, everybody. We are now live in the Blog Talk Radio studio. And so I welcome all my global family now with a special hello, global family. And my guest is in the green room, so I don't want to delay. We're going to get started now and greet our global family. And thank you all for joining me in Viata's Tiny House Village and Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution. So here is what we do in The Female Solution. We welcome our global family from all over the world.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is The Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of The Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325. And participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Hassan Wasafan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangade. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. And may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
Yes, yes, yes. And my guest and I want you to talk to us. My guest today is Brandi Whitmer, and she's going to share her amazing story that I so relate to, because I've had two very important people in my life who were registered nurses. And when I heard this fabulous woman give a talk at the Melaleuca meeting, I was like, oh my goodness, I got to have her on the show. So after we do our joint rolling, for those of you who are new, welcome, welcome. We do joint rolling to get high on life. Yes, we want to get high on life. And why do we do joint rolling? Because for three major reasons, we want to improve our circulation. We want to get our lymphatic system draining all the toxins that get breathed in, eaten in, and just absorbed by our skin. And we want to boost our immune system. So rolling joints every morning. In fact, don't get out of bed until you roll those joints. And I'm going to give you a beautiful demonstration with the music, Time for Healing. I do not own the rights to this music, but they gave me full permission to play it. And so I use this music because the words are so relevant. Even after years of playing this music, the words are still relevant, and I love the music because music is my number one love. I could not live on this earth without music. So let's get busy and roll some joints, get our circulation moving, and lymphatic system and our immune system boosted. And we always start with our head roll, breathing in. In fact, let's take a couple of deep breaths together. Breathing in through the nose and exhaling through the nose or mouth, whatever feels good for you. You can use your nose most of the time, but mouth is good too. Breathing in through the nose, and exhale. And one more time, as the French would say, inspire and expire. Inspire, be inspired when you breathe in and out. And I want you to practice that as we do our joint rolling. Keep the inhaling and exhaling going. And again, we're going to play Time for Healing by the Sounds of Blackness. And let's just keep it moving. If you get any pain while you're moving, just stop and breathe. Don't keep moving when you feel pain. But hopefully you'll get through the whole exercise without stopping. So here we go. Time for Healing.
Oh, yeah.
bold. Vagus nerve is the largest vein, the largest pathway in the body. It actually reaches to every organ in the body. So we warm up the hands, place the hands in the back of the neck, and squeeze and release. Breathe in, squeeze and release. Squeeze and release. Squeeze and release. Ah, oh, feeling better every moment. Squeeze and release. And let's just pat down the rest of the body. I learned some new therapies today that involve just slapping on certain areas of the body. For instance, this area right here improves your circulation and your lungs. If you do this for 30 minutes every day, you're improving your blood flow and your lung capacity. So just slap on that part of the body for about 30 minutes. Keep going. Get all the skin covered. And here's your thymus gland right here. That's your key immune system booster right here in the middle of your chest. Ah, breathing in all that good flowing energy, all that prana, moving. And then let's not forget our boobies. Let's make sure we give our boobies a little massage around, especially underneath where the lymphatic is flowing. Under the arms, big gland, lymph glands under here. Lymph glands under here need massaging. And around the navel, this is another easy way. If you take your both hands, lay them on your navel, and just circulate that area, it will help move out all the toxins and get the blood flowing to heal your second chakra. That's your second chakra area. You want to keep that move, the energy flowing in that area. And just circulate for about a minute in that area. And you're going to get some a lot of healing energy going. Now, let's not forget our adrenal glands and our kidneys back here. Woo, they do a lot of work. Let's give them a good pat right there. Give them a good pat. And love on them. Thank you, kidneys. Thank you, adrenal glands, for all the work you're doing to help me be strong and healthy. Woo-hoo. All right. We did it. We did it. We did it. Give yourself a hand. Now, I'm in my living room right now in my tiny house. I'm going to move now to my studio where we're going to, and you can get to see my beautiful ceiling there. Got lots of plants going on my beams. But we are now in the studio. That was quick, huh? Back in the studio. And back in the studio with my dad. That's my dad back there. For those of you who are new, he was a superstar back in the early 50s in football. And then he's my mentor, taught me all about health and nutrition. And he lived to be 95 years old. So I love, this is the book we wrote together, Sherman J. Howard, Football and Beyond. So he is my mentor, and I'm his legacy. I'm the legacy of a man who promoted health all his 95 years. And so I am really honored today, though, to have this beautiful woman join me, Brandi Whitmer. Brandi, how are you today?
Good morning, Deanna. I'm blessed, better than I deserve.
All right. You're looking good and fit today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, where are you from? Where are you located?
I live just 30 minutes north of Atlanta.
Oh, okay. My sister lives in College Park.
Oh, yeah. Not far. About 30 minutes from there.
Okay. So next time I'm in Atlanta, I'll have to give you a ring. See
yes.
what you're up to. I know you're a very busy lady. And I wanted to share my nurse story, right? Were you a registered nurse?
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
My first experience with first of all, welcome to Blog Talk Radio and Health and Wellbeing with Beata and Beata's Tiny House Village. I'm really glad to have you join me. I don't know where the sun's beaming in somewhere. But when I was growing up, we had a registered nurse live right next to us, and her daughter was my best childhood friend for many, many years. The interesting thing about her, she would, on the weekend, she and my mother and all their friends would get just totally drunk every weekend. And I'm thinking, like, okay, there's something going on. And then she'd get up Monday morning, all weekend they'd be drinking. And then Monday morning, she was up and put on her little white nurse's uniform, and she was off to work. And I saw that example for all my childhood. That was what I witnessed a registered nurse look like. Work during the week and drink a lot on the weekend. And then my second big experience was when my sister moved to Florida with breast cancer. And her breast cancer became so advanced and so serious that she fell and was paralyzed on one side. We had to put her in an assisted living facility. And the woman who took care of her in hospice became my very best friend. She was a registered nurse. And she, after my sister passed, I told her how wonderful she was. I was so glad that she showed up in my sister's life at the end of her life. And you just were the most one. She bought my sister roses. And so then my impression of a registered nurse was like, oh, they're angels. They're just angels. But she was addicted to Coca-Cola. That was her only downfall. And actually, she ended up getting bladder cancer. And I had to be with her through her bladder cancer journey because they removed her bladder. So with these two extremes of registered. When I heard your story, I heard Brandi's story at the Melaleuca, my first Melaleuca meeting. And when I heard her story, I'm like, ooh, she's just the person to come on to Health and Wellbeing and share how leaving a stressful job is something that we, some of us need to do, and it can really benefit us. So, Brandy, with that, I want to give it all to you now. And what encouraged you to become a nurse, first of all? That's what I was curious about.
Well, it started, I started working in the emergency room in a hospital in a position called registration back when I was 25 years old. And you could work in the hospital and be in the emergency room without having to have all the schooling. It was just an administrative position, but it put me in the space of watching what the medical profession was all about in the emergency room. And it was in a trauma center here in Georgia. And very quickly, I realized that that was really what I loved. I'm sure there's a reason why I loved this, but I loved the way that people would come together as a team and move in synchronicity in a very heightened stress environment, and someone's life was at stake. And they would just all come together, and it was like this perfect like combination of skill and passion and heart, and then they would just walk away after whatever they had been done doing, walk away and go have their lunch or, you know, high five each other. And I just thought, wow, this is really a way to be. I'm a helper by nature. I'm just a helper by nature. I've always been that way. I love to be the giver of good information. I'm a problem solver. And I think that all of those come into play when you're a nurse. I working in the emergency room, I realized that I probably was never cut out to be any other kind of nurse but an emergency room nurse. I can't imagine myself working in any other capacity as a nurse. The emergency room just was very much my personality. I liked the organized chaos. I liked the camaraderie. There's just an energy in an emergency room that you can't quite explain to people unless you've actually worked in an emergency room. And so, that's where I started my healthcare career, and it's where I ended my healthcare career. And I absolutely loved being an ER nurse. It suits my personality, and I got to be, I think that what I loved most about it was we see people at their most vulnerable moment in the emergency room, right? You have to come in, you have to take off all your clothes, a stranger's poking you with needles, they're, you know, moving you in and out of rooms, you don't feel well, you don't know what's going on. A lot of times physicians can, you know, talk at patients instead of really explaining the process of what we're doing, to no fault of their own, but it's a very fast, you know, moving environment. And so I kind of really loved that I could be a safe place for a patient to feel like they were being taken care of and explain their processes and make them kind of take what the physician was saying and break it down so that they could really feel calm about their visit, and just give them the best experience they could in a really unfortunate situation. And but the emergency room will drain your energy. We're around death. We're around addiction. We're around abuse. We work lengthened hours. We skip lunch breaks. that you don't even realize how the compound effect takes a toll until you wake up one day and realize you're cynical and you're annoyed at most people. And it really changed me working in the emergency room. It really, if you put yourself in that kind of heightened stress environment for a long period of time, and it can really take a toll on your health, on your sleep. Especially, I was working night shifts when I was a brand new nurse, and I had children at home, so I would come home in the morning and I would sleep all day. So it just, you know, it's a lot. And as much as I loved it, I knew that once I could feel that toxic drain where I had to give myself a pep talk to go to work, I was no longer excited to go in and do my job, but I had to like talk myself into going to work because I knew what I was going to deal with, I just couldn't be in that environment anymore.
Now, after how many years did you have to start talking yourself into going to work?
It was not that long ago. So I walked away from the bedside in 2022. And it's interesting, the transition, because in 2017, I started making money in the online space in wellness. as very accidental. It just kind of showed up in my life, and I didn't really understand it, but I really liked what it was. And so I started to earn income outside of the hospital in the space of helping other people get well. And when that started to happen, and I, you know, coming from a traditional family, I had never been taught anything about entrepreneurial skills or sales skills or building a business or anything like that. I was taught you go to work, you clock in, you clock out, and you come home, and you do that until you're 65. So it was very new to me. But I really enjoyed it. And I thought, and at the time I was actually in grad school. So in 2017, I was in grad school to become a nurse practitioner. And I had started making enough money in the online space where it would out-earn my raise I would get as a nurse practitioner, basically. And I thought, wow, do I really want it? Is my life's dream to be a nurse practitioner? It wasn't really. I was going to school to make more money. That's ultimately what nurses do. If you need to bridge the gap, you either work more shifts or you go get another degree. So I was going to get another degree, but at the same time, I started earning money in the online space. And right around 2018 is when I left grad school and decided that, you know, I was really just doing it as a means to an end. And if I could build a business in the online space and control my own schedule, but still be involved in helping people, that felt like a perfect marriage for me. So I stayed in the ER until 2022, but the whole time I was treating my plan B like my plan A and really building my business to a place where I could walk away from nursing.
Yeah. Now, when you started at 25 years old, you had already completed college?
No. When I started at 25, I was just doing registration. I didn't go back to nursing. I went to nursing school when I was 32. So I spent about 10 or 11 years actually as a full-time ER nurse from like 35 to 45.
10 or 11 years as a nurse?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you didn't go to a four-year college?
Well, I went to 2 years first, got my ASN, and then I went back and got my BSN while I was working as an ER nurse.
Okay. So was your family educators, or did your family encourage you to, what was your family like? Let's go back a little bit.
I came from divorce, addiction, some mental health issues. I left home at 17 and have, you know, never been under any sort of, you know, anyone taking care of me but myself since I was 17. And so at 17, I went into, you know, waiting tables, and I went to college for about a year and really didn't see I didn't know what I wanted to be. So college just felt, at that age, it felt almost to me like a waste of time because I wasn't sure what I was going to do with it. I thought maybe I would go to cosmetology school because I love to do my own hair, and that would be fun because I always looked at that profession like very fun and hip and cool. I thought maybe I would do that. And then by chance, I'm from Southern California, so I ended up moving to Georgia from California. My mom was a dental hygienist. When she divorced my father, she had to go back and get a job. So she got certified as a dental hygienist and worked as a dental hygienist to take care of us. And as we were little and my father was gone from the home. So I'm very independent, say that, just very independent at a very young age, figured out how to make my own money, support myself, and just kind of, you know, make ends meet. And I think healthcare to me was a way. There was a couple blessings when you think about healthcare. First of all, you can get a job anywhere, right? Nurses are always in need. You're never going to be out of a job as a nurse. Number two, working in the ER was full-time. It was 3 days a week, and that's pretty appealing as opposed to the traditional 5 days a week, although now nurses are working 6 and 7 days a week just to keep their head above water, which is just so crazy. My family life was not traditional, not college-focused, not a lot of push. It was kind of like, sure, you know, you want to move out? Sure. You want to go to school? Sure. Good luck with that, kind of. So I was on my own at a very young age.
Wow. And did you have siblings?
I do. I have. So I have one birth sister. So I am 48, and my sister is 47. She unfortunately does not live the healthiest of lifestyle at all, and at a very young age fell victim to drugs and alcohol. So we have a lot of that in our family, in our family lineage, addiction. And so my sister and I don't speak as of today because she, it's a very, it's just, I have boundaries and it's a toxic relationship. So but she is my blood sister. And then my mother remarried when I was 20 to my stepfather, who I adore, and they had two children. So I have a brother and sister, Morgan and Chase, and they're amazing. They're 27 and 25.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful, typical American experience, though. I mean, my mother was an alcoholic, divorced. My father divorced her. I had two siblings. We all went to college. You know, in the Black community back then, especially in the 60s and 70s, parents were insisting their children went to college. There was just no question about it. And I lived in a neighborhood where it was actually a very diverse neighborhood, University of Chicago, Hyde Park, every race you can think of was in that, near that neighborhood. And we had a lot of nurses and teachers as professions in my neighborhood. My dad was a teacher. This guy behind me was a teacher. And then a lot of his friends and all my relatives were teachers. So I was like, everybody was, I had like seven or eight cousins. They were all in the teaching field. So that was pretty typical, the way you describe. And then our siblings, my older sister, as I said, who had a hospice situation, she went into teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, when her daughter was killed, that's what stirred up the breast cancer and the disease in her. But all the lessons are there with our siblings and our parents. And now what you refer to as healthcare, we kind of look at as sick care system.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There was no promotion of health back then. It was like, we'll take care of you while you're sick, and then it's your responsibility to do the health part. So
absolutely.
I'm going to take a break, and you'll love this commercial because it's a Melaleuca promotion. And I just play it every show because it's so relevant to how we need to be thinking about shifting, as you did, to a career that promotes health.
Absolutely.
And a career that educates. Because one thing I love about Melaleuca is they do a lot of educating. I've been on the web since I started in January. I've been on the website every week, at least every week, watching video. So it's been like, okay, wow, what did I just learn again? What I didn't know before about something or other. So we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we want to talk about how you transitioned from a very stressful job. And I had one more nursing experience I'm going to share with you, and this woman was an emergency room nurse for 30 years, I think. And the end of her life, she was in bed all day. She couldn't get out of bed. That's how traumatic her experience was. But yours was, you got out quick, which was a good thing. So let's take a commercial break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever wondered why some of the healthiest people still get sick? Or why the occurrence of learning disabilities like ADHD have drastically increased over the last 50 years? How is it that the cancer rate has gone from 1 in 8,000 back in the 1910s to 1 in 2 today? Isn't it odd that even though we are more focused on health than ever before, that there's still been an increase in diseases, disorders, illnesses, and other conditions? Destroy your quality of life? What if we told you that the very things you're using in your home to avoid these health concerns are actually what's causing them? If you're the decision maker in your home, you know how overwhelming it can be to keep your family safe. Today, we'd like to welcome you and simply provide you with some important information. and shed some light on some health concerns you may not be aware of. Over the last 100 years, thousands of toxic chemicals have been introduced into society because of an excessive overstock of chemicals designed for warfare in the Second World War. Today, as the 2013 documentary, The Human Experiment states, quote, 42 billion pounds of toxic chemicals enter into commerce every day. That amount would fill up 623,000 tanker trucks. And as we speak, there are over 80,000 such chemicals on the market in the U.S. Over the last half century, chemical usage has gone up by 2,000%. And it isn't until there are enough people hurt by these products that there are even questions raised. Does this sound familiar? On July 12, 2018, the well-known grocery store brand of talcum and baby powder company, Johnson & Johnson, was ordered to pay a $4.6 billion lawsuit. As it was said, they knowingly covered up asbestos in their product for over 40 years, and we have been trustingly using it on ourselves and our most precious of all things, our newborn babies. As parents, we work hard to keep our families safe and healthy. We diligently try to choose the best brands at the grocery store for our families. After all, keeping a clean home is an important part of good health. But is it possible that cleaning your home is dangerous? 7.3 million American couples have trouble conceiving or carrying a pregnancy to term. This is a 49% increase since 1988. Recent studies have shown that babies that do make it to term are being born pre-polluted, with up to 28 harmful chemicals in their blood, with indicators that over 400 more were present, all without ever eating food, drinking water, or even breathing air. It just doesn't make any sense. Studies show that in 1999, one in 500 kids had autism. Today, it's one in 59. But the effects don't stop there. As of 2013, the increases over the last 45 years show that life-threatening birth defects has increased 100%. Genital deformities in baby boys has increased 122%. Asthma has increased 80%. Leukemia in children has increased 74%. And ADHD has increased 53%. A 20-year independent study was done by the University of Bergen in Norway. This study started closely tracking a population of 6,235 women and men. They tracked the typical use of home cleaners and how they affect lung tissue of those who use them over a long period of time. Over the course of the study, the participants answered questions about their usage of cleaning products and had their lung capacity tested regularly. In May 2018, the study was published in the American Journal of Respiratory and Critical Care Medicine, which generated global media attention, because their findings from the study clearly showed that significant damage had been done to lung tissue, and that by using national brand cleaners, even only once a week, had the same effect as smoking a pack of cigarettes a day for 20 years.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my three-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Are back now with my very special guest, Brandy Widmer. And that commercial that I played is just a sample of the education and the information that Melaleuca provides members, as well as those who just want to shop on with a company that promoting non-toxic products. So Brandy, I met Brandy at my first Melaleuca meeting, and she was the main speaker, one of the speakers. And when I heard her story, I said, oh, my goodness, I've got to meet this lady because I just loved how you transitioned from a very, like you said, organized, problem-solving, organized chaos job, but you realized early on, thank goodness, that you needed to make a shift. Now, my friend whose mother worked in nursing for 35, in the emergency room for 35 years, I journeyed with him at the end of her life because he was trying to take care of her while she was in bed. She could not get out of bed. She could not get out of bed. Once she retired, it was in the bed. And I realized that was just stress taking hold of her and not knowing how to process it. All those years, what did you do to kind of manage that stress before you start having babies even? I mean, you said you have children. How many children do you have, Brandy?
Two. I have a 22-year-old son and a 20-year-old daughter.
Oh my goodness. So you were pregnant while you were in the emergency room, were you?
Yes. Yes, I worked. Yes, I had. Yeah, I did. I had a crew when I was 26 and Kelly when I was 28, and both of them, I worked in the emergency room while I was pregnant with them. Mm-hmm.
So what kind of support did you get raising, well, you were married at the time, right?
Yes.
So what was your support like raising a family and holding a career, which some women really struggle with?
Well, you know, being in the emergency room, well, my husband was self-employed, so he had a lot of control over his schedule and timeline. And when at some point we were living in California, we were living around a lot of family. So I had some family, some good family support. My mother and my father and then my husband's family all lived there. So, but, you know, when I worked in the emergency room, I could get by working 2 or 3 days a week. So what I would do to manage being able to have babies and not have to put them in daycare was to work night shifts. That's what, you know, that's the one of those joys is that 24/7 opportunity to fit work in around your life, which is what I always wanted to do. So many of times when I was gone to work, my children didn't really know I was gone to work because they were sleeping. And then by the time I was coming home, I was putting them on the school bus at that time. And so I would sleep while they were at school. So it kind of was a blessing for being a working mother at the time to be able to have a night shift opportunity to support my family. It's a lot of the reasons why women work night shift is so they can be, you know, moms during the day and, you know, work by night. It's an incredible stress on the body. I mean, working night shift is just the way it messes with your circadian rhythm and your emotions and your hormones and your cortisol and, you know, trying to navigate, you're telling your brain and your body that it's time to go to sleep when it's really time to be awake. And then shifting into your off days where you're just supposed to be normal and it doesn't feel normal at all. And I think we just get into management mode. You just do it because that's what you're supposed to do. And in the moment, I don't think in the moment we realize what it's doing to us to live that way. And I say this with total compassion, but nurses can be some of the unhealthiest people. We eat on the go. We don't sit down. We're on our feet for 12 hours. We're being put in life-threatening situations where we have to think. We are around a lot of sadness and disease. We work nights, weekends, holidays. And a lot of times it can be so financially beneficial to work extra that some of us go into the profession because we get to work 3 days a week and we end up working so much more than that. To maintain what it's like to live life, and then you get caught in that cycle. And now before you know it, you're working 5 12-hour shifts a week, and your body has a really hard time keeping up with that. It really does. And I worked around nurses that had been in the emergency room into their 50s, and I just remember thinking, I just don't think I can do that. If I loved it and it was good to me while it was good to me and it served its purpose and I got to be in a lot of incredible situations that I still have memories of, it taught me a lot about life and how to be really grateful, how life can be taken from us in an instant. But I knew very early on that that being in that kind of environment is not for anyone long-term, not for anyone long-term.
Yeah, that's the lesson you learn. In fact, I had a similar situation. My husband and I were raising two small children, and he was fortunate to work for a major airline where he could work on any shift he wanted. So in order to accommodate raising two small children, and I had a job too. I was a full-time employee at a bank. He worked a midnight shift. Mm-hmm. So I know exactly what you're talking about. He hated it after a while. He just, you, couldn't adjust to, couldn't sleep during the day, and then you had to get up and go to work. So, yeah, it was kind of another stress on top of raising two small children.
Yes.
So we were blessed to have a partner, though, who we could work with. My heart goes out to single moms, which my sister was a single mom. All the 14 years she tried to raise her daughter, and then her daughter was hit by a car, and that put her into deep grief and all the things that caused her breast cancer. And I learned, like you said, we learned so much from those stressful and traumatic experiences that we're able to do what we're doing today and that teach others how to be well. So how did you happen to go get into a wellness company? How did that happen?
Well, it really, like I said, nurses, we live some pretty, we can live a pretty unhealthy life. And in my early 40s, so this is about in 2017, so I guess about 7-8 years ago, I was just in a place of feeling lethargic all the time. I was puffy. I had weight that I wanted to lose that I couldn't get off. I was on this hamster wheel of trying to exercise. It was like I would lose 5 pounds and gain 7 and lose 10 and gain 12, and nothing I was doing was working. And I had a really great friend who in like a month or two had just had this really significant health transformation. And I, asked her what she was doing, and she told me. And so I really got started for product. I got started for product. I had an incredible health transformation. And I am I'm a helper by nature. If you and I were crossing each other's paths in the grocery store and you complimented me on my shoes, I would tell you where I got them and how much they were. That's how I am. And so as I started to have better energy and I was showing up at work and people were noticing and they were like, wow, have you lost weight? You look so healthy. And I felt so good. And I just started telling people about it. I started saying, this is really simple. You should really try this. And as I started to refer people to this wellness company, they were having results and I was making money from referring them to the company. So it was kind of like this win-win. And it just kind of snowballed. I think once I got a taste, like I said, I had never experienced something like that before. I had always been I've had a job since I was 14 years old. So no one ever taught me how to think outside the box that way. And once I got a taste of what it was like to earn income by helping people in an unconventional way, I thought, well, gosh, that felt great. I referred people someplace where they got results. They're grateful for it. And the company is grateful for me referring them. And this seems like a match made in heaven. So at first it was very accidental. And then I was very intentional about it. I started to really learn what it was like to connect with people, to listen to their pain points, to offer a solution, and to guide them to something that would be beneficial for them. And it just kind of blossomed. And my very first year in the online space, I earned more than I did as a nurse. And that was really eye-opening to me. So I just kind of became what a mentor of mine once said, psychologically unemployable. I started to not feel aligned with the traditional ways that people earn money. And I started to really become attracted to figuring out how to do it on my own, how to figure out a way to be in this, you know, the blessing of the way the world functions now is we have the internet and we have, you know, these platforms where we can, you know, connect with people that we otherwise wouldn't have been able to and use it for good. I try to use it for good. And it really opened up a whole new world for me. So once I figured out that that was possible, I kind of was on a mission. I remember going to work and telling people that I was going to retire myself by the time I was 45, and they used to think I was absolutely nuts. Oh, good luck. And I thought, watch me, watch me. I was 46, but still, not too shabby.
Yeah. So absolutely. And for me, in January of this year, and I ordered a bunch of products. Well, I ordered a big package to sample the products because I'm like, I don't really want to do this. I don't want to be a salesperson. But the person who introduced me to Melaleuca is a widower. Her husband died several years ago. So she's up in Maine by herself struggling. And she said, I want you to check something out. And she's always wanting me to check something out. But I thought about when I looked at the videos about Melaleuca and how you can help people, I thought, I could probably help her make some money if I join and then other people join. And sure, that's exactly what has happened for her. Mm-hmm. She's getting a check every month now from the company because of the people who joined on with her. Mm-hmm. And so my experience has been different the first month. The peak performance, but we're going to talk about some of the products that are just outstanding.
Yeah.
So this peak performance, for those of you listening, peak performance is a multivitamin mineral supplement package that comes in a big box. I gave it to my son because I have so much energy, I don't know what to do with it sometimes. So I don't really need a peak performance product, but my son does because he's the one who drinks a lot, who works 5 days a week, stress, works out, all that, and has a standard American diet. I'm like, so here, try this. You know, this, and it was for the 50 and over box, but I said, why don't you try this? Do you know within about a week or two, he's like, I really noticed a difference. My bowel movements are different. I got energy. So he loves the product. So he's my first member. I call him member. He's not buying. He's just buying the products right at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm putting dish detergent in his. We're using the dishwasher detergent in his house. And we're slowly introducing non-toxic to a toxic house.
Yeah.
And how is that how you started with the product? Tell us a little bit about some of the products that you really like and how you started using and introducing them.
Yeah, well, so my first introduction to wellness and kind of referral-based income was with a totally different company. I didn't get exposed to Melaleuca until 1 year ago. So it's only been a year for me. And the company that I was with prior, it was all nutrition products. But as the world changed and the economy changed, a lot of people were not using those products anymore because they were so expensive. They were very high-priced kind of niche products that a lot of people could not afford. And my friend Susan introduced me to Melaleuca specifically for the referral side. So I came to Melaleuca for the referral side because my friend Susan showed me the business that she had created here in the last 2.5 years. What I realized was that I had spent the last 4 or 5 years helping people with what they put in their body, but I wasn't paying attention at all to what was in my home and what I was putting on my body at all. Like, we had all the traditional things in our home that most American households use, and I was shopping at the local grocery store down the street. So when I was introduced to Melaleuca, I thought, well, heck, I already have 50 to 60 of these products in my house anyways. I'm just buying them elsewhere. They're more expensive and they're more toxic. So this made a ton of sense for us to transition our home over to using these products instead. And I was really dumbfounded when I learned about the nature of some of the ingredients in the things that I had been using on my children and in my home for so many years. So we have just slowly but surely converted our whole house over, everything from our toothpaste to our laundry detergent to our dish soap. I love the skincare so much. It's so affordable and at the same time very high quality. So we're not getting a lot of the toxic ingredients in our pores and skin that I was using before. But the supplementation, so my husband is not a vitamin taker. He is also a traditional American diet eater. Thinks that a lot of the stuff that I think is a little woo-woo, you know, like what's the difference? Big deal, you know, and it is a big deal. But after going to an event and hearing the stories around peak performance, I thought to myself, if there were one thing that he was going to do, this would be the thing, right? So a couple months ago, I said to him, if I buy these peak performance vitamins, will you take them? Because I'm not going to go out and buy them and force them down your throat, but I just want confirmation that you will take them because I think they could be really beneficial. He comes from a long line of unhealthy. So I did, and to my surprise, the day they came, we were getting ready for bed. He popped open the PM pack, he took it, and he woke up the next morning, popped open the AM pack, and took it. And when he came home from work, he said, I don't know if it's a placebo effect or not, but I felt better than I normally do all day long. And he has not stopped taking them since. That was just about a month and a half ago. I mean, we've gone on vacation, and he actually makes sure that he has peak performance vitamin pack with him. So that's just a testimony to the quality of these products. And I actually have a dear friend who shops with me. And she said, Brandy, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to take these vitamins, these supplements to my naturopath, her functional practitioner. I just want some feedback to see. And I was like, no, I love it. Like, you know, give me the rundown when you get back. She called me immediately after showing her naturopath the vitamins, and she said, I was so surprised. I took the vitamins in, and she laid them out in front of her naturopath, and her naturopath said, oh, those are Melaleuca. And she said, oh, you know about Melaleuca? And she said, oh, yeah, those are the gold standard of supplements. Absolutely, positively keep taking those. So I just thought, what a great testimony
yeah.
around the quality of our vitamins. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if people could do one thing, if there was one thing they were going to do, I would say the peak performance vitamins can drastically change some stuff on the inside for you that you might not even know that you're working with.
Now here's the interesting thing. I ordered the peak performance for over 50 because I'm in my 60s. Mm-hmm. And when I got the pack, I'm like, well, I don't really need to take these. I gave it to my son who's 40. He'll be 44. He loved it. But they had, when I learned, they had one for men and they have one for women. So they did a great job of producing or creating this
yes.
product for different groups of people who need different nutrition. I was in a healthy store for 10 years. So I was promoting all of what Melaleuca promotes today. I was doing it in a healthy store, the food, the product, the cleaning products, we had everything. So this was an easy transition for me to say, okay, you might need this, but you may not need this, but you could try this. But I really think that the peak performance, and when I went to the Melaleuca meeting, that seemed to be the one product everybody was raving about. Yeah, I really love the peak performance. So if anyone wants to try one product first, like you said, that's the first one. If you're struggling with your health in energy, nutrition, or whatever, that's the product that both Brandy and I are recommending, as well as we've had experience with relatives who just love it after even a couple of weeks. And with you, your husband, a couple of days maybe.
Right. Yeah. I think one of my favorite ones to point people to, they have a little bundle and it's a vitamins, FiberWise, and the digestive enzymes. Those three, there's like a little bundle they have. That FiberWise is, it can work miracles for people that struggle with digestion issues and bloating. And especially if you have high cholesterol, you know, you should be getting enough fiber. And then the digestive enzymes, you know, gut health is most people do not have great gut health, and those digestive enzymes really allow people to have better quality of health by helping break down the food that they're eating before it, you know, goes from the stomach to the intestine. So those three products alone are just incredible.
So what?
And still affordable.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's affordable because what I learned that first day, that first meeting at the day before that big event, I was at an evening event, and the guy who was speaking, I can't remember his name, but he worked for a major company. You probably know who it is. But he worked for a major cosmetic company, and he really broke down the reason that Melaleuca can afford to invest in better products, and the prices are better because they're not paying a Kardashian type figure to promote the product.
Yep.
And all the other overhead that Melaleuca doesn't spend money on, they're spending money on the quality, which I thought that's why I think this company has been successful for, 35 years?
Almost 40 years.
And so looking at that, I realized, even Oprah, I did a show last week. Oprah got paid $200 million to promote Weight Watchers, which she's no longer doing. But I thought about the money that companies put into celebrities to promote their product. That's why the prices are higher, and they can't afford to put quality ingredients in the product. That's what I'm learning. This has been a learning period for me since I joined, is why do people want or need to be I call it membership with Melaleuca because of these reasons over here that their quality of products are better, their prices are better. And then with you, tell us about, you say you've only been with Melaleuca a year, but tell us about your wealth increase just over a year. How has that been?
Well, I'm an impact girl. I really am driven by creating impact. And when I was first having a conversation with my friend Susan, and she was asking me to take a look at Melaleuca as an opportunity to earn full-time income, I remember saying to her, no, I'm not going to sell laundry detergent on the internet. Like, that's silly. And she said, it's so much more than that. It really is so much more than that. Would you just be open to seeing the behind the scenes of how this all breaks down? Because it's very, very different than what I had been exposed to with the company that I was with, which was an MLM. Are structured financially like an MLM, and this is not. And I didn't really understand that or why. So this past, when Susan showed me, first of all, the mission, vision, and values of the company were in full alignment with me. You know, their mission statement is to enhance the others. I mean, that's really their mission statement. And I remember the company that I was with prior, their mission statement was to be the biggest and the best. You know, all ego. And here at Melaleuca, it's go make people's lives better. And that really aligned with me as a nurse. And so that I really loved. And then when she showed me the financial blessing that this had been to her family, I was just really kind of taken aback. And she just kind of walked me through what it would look like to build an actual full-time business here. It just requires impacting a lot of lives. That's really truly what it was. So, I'm blessed that I get to do it full-time, and I love leadership, and I love mentorship, and I love mindset. Those are all things that I love. And so I just went to work really quickly to not only expose people to what Melaleuca could look like from a health standpoint in their life, but also we're living in a world where, you know, our credit card debt is through the roof. People can't pay their bills. They're being let go from their jobs just before Christmas. I have a friend that works in HR for a big corporate company. She had to lay off dozens of people right before Christmas. People are, you know, grabbing at straws to keep their heads above water. And what I think Melaleuca is the answer to a prayer that most people don't know exists. And so I just made it my mission to make sure that they knew not only about the fact that they could come here and shop and save money, but they could also refer other customers and get a thank you check from Melaleuca every single month when those customers shop. And I learned that Melaleuca's retention rate is 97%. So that's just, it just makes you realize how valuable people find the store to be, because they come back and shop month after month after month because the quality of the products and the nature of the ingredients is, you know, changing their household. I get messages all the time from people about improvements in their health or how they got loyalty dollars to spend. And, you know, it's just so beneficial. So I approached it, I would probably say the products were a no-brainer for me. It just made sense. I think the referral side is where I really leaned in the beginning to show people a way to make a couple extra $100 a month or more than that. So, yeah, it has given me near six-figure income my first year. I work really hard in helping people achieve their goals. And, you know, because of our mission statement, go make people's lives better, we are really compensated well financially to show people the full vision of Melaleuca. And it's not just the product, it's the ability to refer other families and impact other families. And I think, I mean, there has been explosive growth with Melaleuca just in the beginning of this year. I think their numbers are higher than they've ever been, over 30,000 families finding their way to Melaleuca every single month for the first time. And I think it's just a testament to the fact that they are just offering something that people really need right now.
Mm-hmm. So now what's your day like? When you look at back at being a nurse, getting up, having to go in and come back, cooking. Now, are your children still at home for one?
Mm-hmm.
No. So
no.
You're an empty nester.
Yes.
Wow, that's great. What are your children doing? Are they in the business? Or
They're both stepping into the entrepreneurial space a little bit. Yeah, they'll probably be non-traditional young adults as well. Yeah, my son just moved out on his own. He moved to Florida. He's living in St. Pete. We just moved him down there last weekend.
Yay!
Yeah, so we visited, and it was lovely, and we're looking forward to going back. It was so beautiful down there.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, it's like a whole different world when you step into, like, a small beach community. It just, you know, you just... it's just a breath of fresh air. So, and my daughter, she's not sure what she wants to do yet. She's still navigating that, but she's 20, so she's got plenty of time. But, yeah, they're young and healthy and happy and, you know, good, decent humans. So
how do you think your career influenced your children, especially at a young age of, 25? They know what mom was doing, how mom was feeling, how mom was responding, reacting. How do you think your career choices have influenced your children? Because what we're doing at the Female Solution is really promoting entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And especially me, I'm like college. My grandchildren, their mother keeps telling them, "You got to go to college. You got to go to college." And then they come to visit here every 2 days. They're in a divorce situation, and I'm like, "Grandma's going to show you all the options why you don't have to go to college." So
yeah.
Melaleuca is one of the reasons I want to show my grandchildren why they don't have to go to college. Look at the options here. Look at the options. Then I'm starting a linen top business soon. I ran into a little problem because I want to do rainbow. I don't know if you can see my chakra chart. I'm going to be doing a linen vibe business. Where I'm a sewer. I have a sewing, just bought a new sewing machine. So as an entrepreneur, that's what I've been doing this for like 20, 30 years almost, entrepreneur, whether it's cleaning houses or whatever. Now I'm going into linen tops. I'm making tops for the summer, which are easy, but I had trouble finding fabric in colors. Joann Fabrics is going out of business, which is another problem.
Right.
And so I'm like, where am I? So I had to go online and order all my colors for my linen. And then it's a matter of now waiting 2 weeks because they're coming from overseas. And I was really getting discouraged, Brandy,
mm-hmm.
until I was watching a video by a guy named Sasha Stone. And he brought on this Native American Huni, I forget his name, and he was talking about the needle and the rainbow, how the needle sews rainbows. And I'm like, what did he just say? And here I am talking about rainbow, the chakras and linen and the high frequency of linen. That's why I'm doing linen, because it's the high frequency fabric. And that was another sign for me that you're on the right path, which we haven't talked about your spiritual messages. But first, let's go back to your children. How do you think they've been influenced? Have you had conversations with them about your career choices versus what they want to do now?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think them being in there, you know, when I first started working for myself and earning outside of the traditional job, they didn't really know. They were teenagers, and they kind of thought it was, you know, mom's little side gig. And I think that, you know, them watching me make tiny sacrifices, like, you know, needing to be on a Zoom call to do a presentation at 8 o'clock at night to accommodate someone that's in a different time zone, or, you know, using my social media to put out messages of positivity to attract people that, you know, needed what I had to offer, watching all of that and then watching me walk away from healthcare and thrive in an industry of wellness outside of, you know, the hospital. It's interesting because my son is 22, and just last year, he went to college for 2 years. He hated every minute of it. He's like, this is just a waste. I could, you know, like, when am I going to use, like, Algebra 2, honestly, again? Like, it's like a repeat of high school. And now, don't get me wrong, there are professions that require a college degree, and I'm all for that. But that was not his path.
Right.
And I believe that C students can be A-type people in life. I don't think grades are everything. And, you know, I think we push our kids to perform at too early of an age. And so we just really always instilled in our kids character, integrity, kindness, you know, having a sound mind, being able to make critical decisions effectively. You know, those kinds of things I think are more valuable in the world than getting an A+ and, you know, getting a degree, because plenty of people I know that have degrees can't get work right now. They don't have those other character traits, and they're not sure what they're going to do in the world. And now they've got $50,000-$60,000 of debt, and how are they going to, you know, transform that into the working place right now, and what a struggle that is. So my son was not sure what he wanted to do, and just last year he stepped into the world of entrepreneurship, and he's incredible at it. He's such a great, he's so great with people. He's a great conversationalist. He's very in tune. He could sit in a room with, you know, all of my friends and just have a conversation, very mature. And so he started working in sales in August and became number two in his company the first month that he was there. And so, you know, he just in the last 6 months has really transformed. And to your question, about 2 months into his you know, entrepreneurial journey, his company asked him to speak for all the new agents coming in. And he came down and was like, Mom, they asked me to speak, you know, to all these people. It could be like 100 people. And so when I was listening to him speak, he was referencing me on his, you know, in his talk about sales, basically. And he said, you know, my mom always taught me that, you know, sales skills are just people skills. If you can just go do right by people and be really great with people and help people solve problems, then you can really essentially write your own ticket. And that's, you know, that's kind of what he's doing now. So he's got his own apartment and his first car and paying his own bills at 22 years old.
Wow.
And he loves it. He loves it. He's like me. He's got that independent, you know, kind of strength, and he wanted to be out on his own. And I never saw him as a kid that would work in a traditional, you know, in a traditional setting. So I think it definitely influenced both of them. My daughter also went to college. She was like, Mom, I don't even think college is what it was, you know, 10 years ago. So she just was like, I feel like I'm wasting your money. She said, I don't know what I want to do yet, but I don't think the college route is for me. I will figure out my way. It's going to take me a minute to just really figure out what it is that I want to do. So right now she's just working in the restaurant industry, but I, you know, she might want to follow in my son's footsteps. So, and he could, you know, mentor her and help her get started too. So we'll see.
Wow, that's great. And you're recognizing, or you're describing typical sibling children characteristics that are very different. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have with my two sons. They're older. They're one's 44. He'll be 44. I'm getting younger. I'm getting younger. I keep saying I'm getting younger. I'm getting younger. And the other one is he'll be 30. Well, they're 5 years apart. But one went to a 2-year college, and in photography, movie production, and now he's working at SeaWorld. For the last almost 20 years, he loves his job because he's a great photographer.
Uh-huh.
And then he has a part-time job with a company that does sports photos, group sports photos. So he's kind of venturing out a little bit. I keep telling him, you need to go out there and do photography because mm-hmm. you're really good at it. But mm-hmm. working at SeaWorld and Discovery Cove, he's with these sea animals all day long, and he loves, and he's out in the sun all day long. He loves
great.
That.
That's
and is
great.
That the most health, the healthiest thing for someone who's on a standard American diet?
Yeah. Yeah,
you need
absolutely.
To be out in the sun. I keep saying your life has been saved by being out in the sun and eating all the crappy food and drinking and all that. On the other hand, my oldest son went to a 4-year college where he learned to party and drink alcohol. Basically what I learned when 4 years in college, party and drink a lot of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to overcome that behavior after you graduate. Not to mention the loans that you're paying off.
Yeah.
You don't get a job. He was a waiter. Even as he graduated from college, he had to do a job as a waiter for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There's a statistic now that 56% of college graduates are not working in their field that they studied in.
I believe it.
So your children, my children, are right on point about this college thing. Mom, I don't know about that. And I think that's what you and I are here to promote, is that option. You can make a six-figure income. You don't have to necessarily go to college to do that, but you have to have the drive, the willingness, and the love of people. I think one thing about you is that you have, after nursing, you love people, dead or alive. You're there to help them out, whatever needs to be done. So, and that's a side question: is how do you view death now after being in that field? You must have seen a lot of people's lives end in the emergency room. What was that experience? Because that's the spiritual part I wanted to ask you about. How has that changed your life in a spiritual way?
You know, I think I'm really, in a really sad way, very immune to death. It's very non-emotional for me. And it's not because I'm a cold-hearted person, but in the emergency room, we, you know, could be doing chest compressions on someone. They die. We pull the sheet over their head. Then we go on and we take care of the next patient who needs stitches in their, you know, chin. And there's not a lot of conversation about it. You know, the loss of life was daily, sometimes multiple times daily, and sometimes back to back. I mean, I worked in a trauma facility. So there were some occasions where we would be in one room trying to keep someone alive and then would have to leave that and go right into another room trying to keep someone alive. And, you know, you can't prepare for, I would guess it affects everybody a little bit differently, but, you know, I'm an emotional person, but I think the ER really put a bind on my ability to have, you know, I would say, like, it's almost like compassion fatigue. You know, it's like
reality.
Just another day. And when I would tell people, like, if I was sitting around a table with a bunch of girlfriends and they would say, oh, tell me the craziest thing that happened to you in the emergency room. And I'm like, you don't really want to know. Like, it's not for the faint of heart, and it's not probably heavier than most people would say. And I think that that's why, as nurses, and I'm not saying this as a whole, but I think that, you know, nurses, as far as coping, we tend to drink a lot because it's that, you know, you've got to do something. You can't, it's hard to just come home and have a normal conversation with someone after you've been in this really, really kind of high stress situation. And especially after the last couple years, with how everything changed, it was just even more so heightened. And that was just an eye-opener to me. I just remember thinking, like, I'm no longer able to actually be a good nurse because I just can't even stand being here, you know? So I think it affected me tremendously. I haven't experienced a death personally close to me in quite a while, I'm grateful to say. But I know that I'm not immune to that. And I, when I think about it, I don't know. It's a very interesting thing. It really takes life, and it just is kind of, I mean, I'm definitely grateful, and I know that it could be taken from me at every moment. And I try to live that way where I, you know, I have a gratitude practice, and, you know, I'm very aware, you know, when my kids come in and out of the home, we hug, we kiss, we say, I love you, you know, those kinds of things, because, you know, you just never know. But yeah, I think it affected me tremendously around just the idea of, you know, loss of life, because you're around it so frequently, you know, and it's hard to kind of put an explanation on it, really, because you don't know until you know.
Well, I'm so glad we kind of segued into this spiritual part, because health and well-being with Beata is all about holistic lifestyle, wisdom about living, and it includes mind, body, and spirit. I always try and bring in all three elements, the mind, how the mind works, how the body is working, and how to take care of all three areas. And you just really explained why in your career you don't see death as something traumatic as much as you see it as a reality part of life. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's beautiful about working as a nurse and experience. You go, you're talking to your friend, what, how was your day? Well, five people died today, and you know, we gave them medicine to five or six more people. We saved certain lives, and then, oh, that was my day. And they're probably like, how can you be so casual about it?
Yeah.
Two people. Well, it's a reality. And then year after year, you're right, immune is a good word, but then another word is just I'm a lot wiser about it. And,
yeah,
and more understanding, understanding, overstanding, all of that, because witnessing that, you realize, okay, it's a cycle of things that have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And your life really doesn't end. I know there are some people in our studio who would say life doesn't end when the body stops breathing.
Mm-hmm.
But the story goes on, and you are left to tell a different story. Are both your parents still alive?
They are. My father actually lives here with me in our basement. He has an apartment in our basement.
Wow.
My mother lived in California, but yes, they're both still living. Mm-hmm.
So you haven't experienced their transition yet,
mm-hmm.
but how are you, you know, that's the thing you start thinking, well, how am I going to be prepared for that? Even though you were in an emergency room with all those people leaving, but when your parents leave, and my experience has been just extremely educational with both of my parents' transition, and I'm kind of immune myself. It's like I told a story on I did a YouTube short yesterday on a centenarian, lessons from a centenarian. I have a man in my life who's 102 years old. It's like 5 minutes away. I used to work for him in his house. I used to clean his house, iron his shirts when he went golfing in his 90s. He was in the 90s. But he's had a pacemaker. He has diabetes. He's going blind in one eye. The other eye's failing. His hearing's failing. And I sat down and listened to his anxiety for the week is, I can't eat unless I take with my insulin. So he's in this place of anxiety. He's been on so many medications. We haven't even talked about your experience with people being on all these medications. And he's on so many medications that he thinks he has to have food in his stomach, but he can't eat the way he used to eat. So at 102, I'm almost wanting to laugh at him. I'm like, Jeff, you're 102. I said jokingly, we want you to stay around for another 100 years, but and in the meantime, let's see if we can solve this problem about you're not being able to eat the way you've eaten for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about eggs and bacon, pound cake, and all the foods he loves. he can't eat them anymore at 100. Does that sound comical to you? I know you're kind of laughing because really?
Yes.
That's
yes.
your biggest problem.
I
and you're
know.
Going blind. You can't hear. Your heart part pacemaker has to be changed. Your body's failing. But I can't eat the way I've been eating. So my video yesterday was like, put a knife to your throat if you're married to your appetite. Because this is
yeah.
ridiculous. At some point, it's like ridiculous at 100.
Yeah.
You should be out there meditating is my thought.
Yeah,
nope.
Absolutely.
So even with your what was your religious experience growing up? Did that prepare you in any way for adjusting to the death that you witnessed?
No, I have a multitude of exposures as far as religion as a child. I actually grew up in Catholic school, and I also have family members that were nuns. And so went to Catholic school all the way through elementary school. And then when my parents divorced, the Catholic high school was very expensive. So I went to public high school and had no exposure to faith. My mom was not raised in a family that practiced or talked about belief or had any sort of spiritual practice at all. So that was void in my life for pretty much most of my adulthood until we had children and moved to Georgia. The South tends to have a more predominant faith base than Southern California, where I was raised. And so we found a local church here that was non-denominational Christian, and that's where I've spent the most of my adult life and relationship with God is in kind of a very open spiritual practice, but, you know, Christian. And I don't know that it's played a role in how I have been exposed to death and through nursing, but certainly it is like a, you know, a foundation in my life of where I lean for strength. Certainly, instead of my own leaning on myself and the outside world for strength, that's certainly where I lean for, you know, my strength daily.
Well, I think that's to be expected. That's why I love asking about childhood experiences in the area of faith and religion,
mm-hmm.
because the first 7 years, as they say, the Jesuits say, you get a child, teach them something to 7 years, that's what influences the rest of their life. And
yeah.
So obviously with you, you're new as a Christian, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So is the Bible something you enjoy reading, or what's your view of the scriptures and that is how does that play a role in your life every day?
You know, it's interesting that you ask that. I think that I would call my relationship with God very immature. Like you said, I'm a new Christian. So, you know, just being in the practice of being around other Christians and attending church and learning about scripture and kind of starting my own walk in Christianity. But when I feel like that has been like a missing piece for me. Like I would say I'm a Christian, but I have never read the Bible and I don't know scripture well. And so that's what I mean when I say a kind of an immature relationship with the Lord and working on that. But interestingly enough is that when I partnered with Mel Luca, I came into where I thought I was coming for business. I partnered with an existing organization that is laden with fierce Christian women. So I really feel like last year when I was craving a better relationship with God and a deeper spiritual walk, that where I thought I was coming into Melaleuca for business, I think that he had different plans for me and put me in a space where women lead in their business with their faith. And that is the forefront of their business. And I love that. It's been, it's certainly helped me like spiritually in the last year.
Awesome, awesome. It's like everyone learns what they need to learn if they're open-minded. I think if you have a big heart, if you have a big heart to receive wisdom, receive knowledge that's going to help you grow, then you're going to meet the right people, like you said, these fiercely faithful women who have really been a blessing in your life.
Yes.
You have attracted the right people because of your heart space, I think. And being in a field like nursing, I tell you, the nurses I've known have been angels, just angels, angelic in their relationship with other people, just the kindest people, giving people. And unfortunately, they tend to have addictions to something, alcohol, Coca-Cola, or something that helps them deal with the stress, which is pretty typical. I see I haven't taken a break. So we have lots of people in the studio, but no hands are going up. So I want to encourage in this last half hour, can you stay with us another half hour?
Sure.
That if you have any questions or comments, for Brandy, please press 1 in the studio. And I'm watching here in Facebook and YouTube for anyone with questions. And we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll open your mic, answer any questions. And we want to continue to talk about our faith, why we are doing what we're doing, and the influences out there that give you a stronger faith or a weaker faith, and especially when it comes to our family, how they shape our belief system and how they help us let go of the things that are no longer serving us anymore. So we want to talk about that, and we already have a hand up, and we'll get to you as soon as we come back. After these
messages. Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
If you are just joining us, we've been talking with Brandy Whitmer, who is a former emergency room nurse who worked in organized chaos. I like that term, organized chaos, that taught her how to become her best self and make six-figure income working at home and helping other people, not in the sick care business, but promoting wellness and healthcare. What's the average salary, by the way, of nurses?
Goodness, that's, you know, the landscape of paid nurses has changed significantly just in the last couple years, mostly because of the increase in travel nursing through the pandemic and contract nursing and then, you know, sign-on bonuses. And a lot of times the ER now is paying much higher than floor nursing, than office nursing. So I think it's a wide range. When I left the industry, I was making roughly $48 to $50 an hour, I believe. So I was working 2 days a week, two 12-hour shifts. I had gone part-time because of my online business. And I was making about $60,000 a year working 2 days. You could make, you know, at that pay, I was working for a it could be a lot less. When I left public ER, I was making $35 an hour, I believe. And so nurses were picking up extra shifts and overtime all the time to be able to make ends meet. So, but I know that many are making significant amounts of money right now doing contract positions, taking travel jobs, leaving the home. The travel jobs can be like 13-week contracts where they go sign and they go live somewhere else and work, you know, 5 days a week for 13 weeks, make an exorbitant amount of money, and then come back home and they can take a month off because they made so much money in that 13 weeks. So very different. I think certain states pay a lot more than others. So it really depends on where you are and what you're doing.
Right, right. So what a difference, though. You pretty much doubled your income and you don't have to get in a car and drive to work, put on a uniform and administer drugs galore and help people die quickly, basically, because in the sick care business, you're not really promoting health. It's all about maintaining and what they call palliative care. And
yeah, it's really, it's one of the things that I like to talk about most because as a nurse, I did my best to advocate at the bedside. You know, people would come in, you know, my stomach hurts, let's just say, you know, my stomach hurts. And the first thing that I would, you know, you do your initial triage, kind of figure out what's going on and rule out anything, you know, emergent. But then I would say, like, tell me about what your diet looks like. And people would get offended. They didn't want to talk about it. And we would be prescribing medication to these people because a lot of times people do want to fix. They want you to give them something that's going to fix their problem, but without receiving the information of what the root cause is. And the healthcare industry is not in the business of addressing root cause. They are in the business of putting Band-Aids on things, and then you come back and you come back because you're not fixing that root cause. And that was one of the really painful things to me was I love patient education and I love advocating for people, but it was really hard to have a conversation or actually to really have empathy sometimes at the bedside because, you know, I remember one very specific conversation was a gentleman who would come in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for dizziness. Okay. So dizziness could be cardiac and dizziness could be neurologic. And you have to make sure that though there aren't anything specific going on, but he came in with dizziness with a pack of cigarettes in his hand and a Coca-Cola in the other. And when I asked him what he had eaten for the day, it was nothing. And then, you know, you're trying to educate someone who's in the emergency room for dizziness and they don't want to have that conversation. There's no accountability for why you're having these symptoms. And that was really, really, you know, difficult. When you're dealing with life-saving intervention, car accidents, gunshot wounds, falls, that's a different story. Those are emergent, right? These, what the emergency room turned into was a place for chronic illness to be more chronic. And that's really what we did is, you know, steroids, antibiotics, anti-inflammatories, narcotics. But why are we having these problems in the first place? You know, it's our stress, it's our sleep, it's our diet, you know, it's our relationships. Excuse me. And that is what I wanted to talk about all the time. And it was not tolerated in the ER. Patients didn't want to hear about it. You know, I would be giving a prescription at the bedside for reflux. And I would say, listen, you know, you could probably not need this medication. And, you know, medication for reflux it has a horrible side effect. Horrible side effects, reflux medication. And the reflux is coming from something you're doing that you could discontinue and probably not have to need this reflux medication. It's just a Band-Aid. But it's not very well received in the emergency room, you know, kind of state.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So let's take a call, a couple of callers. We have a couple of callers. But let's take a call because we want to talk about, as health professionals, you and I, health coaches, health promoters, how do we respond to people like that in our lives who have these cigarette Coca-Cola in one hand? And they're having a dizziness. It's like, how do we respond? This is the type of situations I have found myself in over and over again, where it's so obvious why these people are having these symptoms, but they don't want to make any changes. So let's go to the phones and hear from you. If you have a question or comment, press 1 in the Blog Talk Radio studio, and we'll open up your mic, and you can have Brandy or myself questions or comments. So 334-895. Your mic is open. Welcome. Can you hear me? 334, are you there? Are you on mute? Hello? Okay, let me go to, I hear somebody saying, okay, let's go to 773-450. Your mic is open.
Hallelujah, greetings, Graham Rising Song.
Graham Rising, go ahead with your question or comment. This sounds like Brother Obadiah. Are you there? Go ahead.
Yes, it is. It's such a wonderful show because it has you to stop to take pause to think about things. Instead of us being such an electronic oriented type of species, if that's the word for it. I mean, anytime you've got somebody that's in the health industry that sees such great flaws in it, they just have to get out of it for the sake of teaching and preaching health, which is just basics that we need to do and not just shoving medication at you. Then it amazes me right there because so many of us go with what commercials and marketing teaches. And when they spend billions of dollars on advertising for this medication, then people just take it for granted that that's what they're supposed to take. And that's going to make the problems go away, even when they have side effects that may say it may even cause death. But because you saw someone in a commercial taking that, you just take it and keep going. And so the question becomes, it's interesting because it seems like it's threefold. There's a spiritual balance in our lives that we're supposed to have. If we don't have that, that's starting where the stress is at, because we're doing something that we're not even purposed to do, which makes you work harder because you're failing because you're not successful at that thing or that purpose that you're pushed there to be. But unfortunately, maybe no one preaches that. I try to teach you, or maybe people just don't learn. But in any rate, I was just grateful to listen in, because I always listen. I very rarely call now because I'm more interested in learning what others think. But I just say kudos to doing that, because that's really the only way we'll ever achieve wellness. And then lastly, I got friends that it's amazing. They end up going to the emergency room. They run foolishly a party or put you on an IV and say nothing by mouth, but yet I ask them the question, why can't you fast on your own and make sure you drink enough water before you get to the hospital?
Yes,
breathing technique to control what you need to control instead of going somewhere and taking some medication for high blood pressure? Change your lifestyle, or change your mind, or change your consciousness. Go outside, listen to some birds, do Tai Chi, do some yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Clear your mind. Clear your mind. Where do they teach that?
Yeah, it sounds like we have another caller in the background. 334.
But I was just going to say, at the end of the day, if we're a more best person, we can help others to be better. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you for the reminder, Brother Oba. Always inspiring and optimistic, and we appreciate you making that comment. Now, 334-895, I heard you, and in the background, did you have a comment or a question?
Oh, praise God. Praise Mother God and praise Father God. And good morning and peace be unto you and your guests. I'm the very wise nurse. I forgot the name. I was interrupted by a call for some tickets to an air show, so I missed a little bit. But I do have a question. I have a question and a comment, Beata, and good morning once again. This is Brother Neil.
And our guest is Brandy. Brandy Whitmer is our guest. Go ahead. Thank you.
Brandy Whitmer. Yes, thank you. My memory and what it used to be, getting older, as you say, getting younger. But, yes, it's been a very spirited and very informative conversation and interview, Beata. You're very thorough and very wise. And the transformation that Brandy, Ms. Whitmer, that Brandy has made has been, once again, like Transformers in the movie, Transformers, the transformation has been very dramatic. And I really appreciate you for sharing your story and sharing your truth and sharing your transformation, how it came about into your being able to market and be successful, helping people with Melaleuca, which brings me to my question, a couple of those questions about who produces it, and I don't want the answers yet, though, but who produces it and distributes it, and how it's delivered to the consumer. But the other, I did want to comment, too, on the stress and the trauma and the psychological damage that you talked about when you were talking about what nurses do. And I know Beata, you know, mentioned their addiction to Pepsi, you know, and you mentioned it, too, and the things, but a lot of them, the medical field, I don't know if you know it or not, but the medical field is the highest rate in terms of rehab, the professions that go to rehab for drug addiction because of the traumatic the trauma and the things that they see and the things that you all see. People don't normally see those, and the blood and the death, and don't normally deal with those on a regular basis. So there's a lot of psychological trauma and a lot of stress that goes along with that. And they have readily access to pharmaceuticals and drugs. And so they end up partaking, you know, out of that, and unfortunately. But this conversation has been very spirited. I want to know more about Melaleuca because it sounds very promising. And from the results and from the testimonies, your testimony, I'm very interested in where it came from. You said it's been around for 30, 40 years, where it came from and how it came about. And may end up getting some of their energy because I need some of your energy, Viata. And still healing and still working on that. And thank you for this spirited conversation and this information and continued success. And may God continue to bless you all and your audience.
Okay, Brother Neil, thank you. So Randy, give us a little bit more about Melaleuca. He wanted to know how the product distributed and all. Just if you can give us a little bit more about the details of how Melaleuca functions.
Yeah, absolutely. So Melaleuca was founded about 39 years ago. They are actually, their name is Melaleuca, the original wellness company. So Melaleuca was doing wellness before it was cool. before it was cool or popular to talk about this. But they started out as an essential oil company. So Melaleuca is actually tea tree oil. And so they started out as an essential oil company and kind of took off from there with other products. And the interesting caveat to Melaleuca is, number one, they are privately owned. So, and always have been. Frank Vandersloot is the founder, and the company is intact to stay privately owned for its entirety, which is a blessing because they answer to no one. They get to make their own decisions based on what's best for their customers and not what's best for shareholders or those who make the money. So when you're shopping with companies and products that are sitting on our shelves, about 63% of the value of the product adds no value to the product. It goes towards shelf space and marketing and endorsements and licensing, and none of that comes to the consumer. So there's great markup there. And so Melaleuca is doing right by their customer by being direct to consumer. So they don't pay for any of that at all, ever, in any of their products, and they market direct to their consumer so they can put their money in science. Number one, they put their money in science to formulate quality products, and then they also put their money in people. So Frank really wanted to build a company that was for the little person. And when I say the little person, I mean me, right? The average wife, mom, and nurse who could come to and create a business by simply putting people in front of good information and letting them decide if it was something that they wanted to take part in. It's really just an online store. So Melaleuca is an online shop club, and they offer better quality products at affordable pricing for the average consumer. And they control everything from the sourcing of ingredients to the making of the products. They make, manufacture, and distribute 100% of their products. So that's what makes them different, and that's what makes them better. And, you know, it's like kind of like your own online Amazon, but when you go to Amazon, you have no idea where those products are coming from, kind of third party. They could come from all over the country. They could have been sitting in warehouses and on shelves. I've ordered some things before, and they come, and there's like a layer of dust on the top of them. I have no idea how long they've been sitting. And the commitment to quality and their ingredient philosophy, you know, the fact that nothing that you'll ever get has been made more than 90 days prior, because they make based on the need of their customer coming to shop at the store. So they always know what, you know, how much to manufacture, so there's not waste. And that is what helps keep their price down. That's what helps keep their pricing down. My supplementation bill has been cut in half since shopping with Melaleuca, and as well as just our household essentials. They go above and beyond to help the average everyday consumer either cut the cost of what they're currently purchasing, get better quality, and then if you want to take part in the referral side, you never have to, but it is there for you if you choose to, then you can actually add a stream of income by referring other people to come shop at the store. So that's what really sets them apart and makes them different.
And I must say, they are a company of integrity. When they said you're going to get your product in 2 days, that's what's happening with me. I'm like shocked. I was calling like, when is my product coming? They said it's already at your door. I'm like, what? And sure enough, and this is like 2 days after ordering. And it's been pretty consistent since January. My first order, 2 days later, the package is here. February here, March here. They got it going on with integrity.
In January, I was able to actually visit corporate, and I was just blown away by the integrity of the entire corporate leadership team. It's very, very different to have that kind of leadership, hearted leadership with a multi-billion-dollar company was just remarkable. I mean, some of the people that we were able to sit with and talk with about Melaleuca and their mission and their commitment was incredible. But what was really cool was we got to go to the distribution center and see how the boxes are packed and the orders come in. And I remember saying, so I live here in Georgia, and if I place my order to Melaleuca before 1 o'clock on any given day, almost 90% of the time it shows up the next day. And I was really taken aback by that because that's just not typical. Even buying on Amazon right now, when they say next day, it's not next day anymore. And so I just thought, wow, what incredible customer service. How do they get me my stuff so quickly? So when we were at corporate, I remember saying to one of the corporate leadership staff, I said, how do you guys get this stuff out so fast? Well, they have 3 distribution centers in the U.S. One of them sits just over the Tennessee border here, about an hour and a half north of me. And he said, our commitment and our goal is that any order that comes into Melaleuca before 1 o'clock, our goal is to get it out same day. So imagine 2 million people shop with Melaleuca every single month. They have 2 million customers shopping every single month. So you can imagine how many orders come in daily, and their goal is to get that order out same day. Now, for some people, it might not come until 2 days later, but for me, I think my proximity to the distribution center, I'm super blessed. So if I wake up on a Monday and I'm out of laundry detergent, it could be here by Tuesday, which is really amazing.
Yeah, and that's another thing I'm impressed with. One of their laundry products, the spot remover, every time I've used it, it works. Sometimes you're trying to remove spots and they don't work, but so far I'm so impressed. We're almost out of time, but I wanted to just touch on the idea that you spoke about. When you have patients who don't want to make the life changes from the cigarette and the Coca-Cola, it was very frustrating for me early in my career with that type of person in my life who had these symptoms, indigestion, pain, headache, dizziness, and yet they're obviously making choices. What do you think what has your response been? Not reaction, because it's gotten so, but what do you think our best response is to people like that? And especially from your experience at the bedside where you're trying to help. And I remember going to doctor's offices. The problem was they never asked me about my relationships, what was going on there. It was like, oh, you have a symptom here. Let's give you a drug. So what's your final advice for people who are making those life choices and how we as health coaches can respond to that?
Yeah, well, I like to – well, first I just want to say I think that any of us who are wellness advocates have people in our lives that don't live that. We are the minority, really, in the world right now, people who are really like dialed in, paying attention, trying to do the best. The sad part is that it is so addictive in nature, the sugar, the carbohydrates, the cigarettes, the alcohol. We're living in a world where people are just on autopilot with their lives, and they're not paying attention to the fact that everything that to their illness or their lack of health. So I just like to get curious I like to just ask questions when I have a family member that's like, oh, my back hurts, or, you know, my father's 75 and lives in my basement, and, you know, when he comes up and might have a health concern or this is bothering me, I can be really quick to fix, but I've noticed that people don't respond well to that. And so I just ask questions like, are you open to hearing some suggestions that might help the root cause of that? Maybe you're struggling with a little inflammation. I could point you in the direction of some things that might help you. You know, ultimately, people are going to do what they're going to do, but I just try to be a voice of reason, really, and not try to be too overbearing and come from a place of educating. The biggest difference in our lives, and I think that's the best that we can do, is just to continue being consistent in our messaging and offer people solutions and know that the timing is not in our hands. You know, our world is inundated with quick fixes. You know, we glamorize alcohol, and, you know, we glamorize, you know, fast food, and we glamorize subscription medic. I mean, my husband and I were watching just a quick documentary the other night that had ads in it, and three of the five ads were brand new medications for curable diagnoses. It just breaks my heart that, you know, we live in a world where teenagers are being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, which is food and alcohol related. I mean, food and exercise related, 100% fixable by lifestyle changes, you know. So it just is kind of one of those things where creating a safe place for people to feel like they can come to you and ask questions and have an open, honest conversation about, you know, why they might be experiencing some of this. You know, we're not meant to be tired. We're brilliantly made to be energetic souls, and we are not meant to be lethargic and tired and in pain. That's not the way our bodies are designed. And I think we're just forgetting how simple it can actually be to have good health, but we're so in this like rat race of quick eating and no exercise and sitting for too long. And you mentioned Centurion. Did you see the movie The Blue Zone?
Yes.
You did it, right? And I was just so mesmerized by these women who are in their 90s, who are gardening and squatting, and they don't sit in lazy boys. You know, they sit up straight on the floor, and they work on their posture, and they live in community, and they nurture each other in relationship. And no wonder they live to 100. And then we have, you know, I treat people who are 25 and have chronic gut health issues because they have trauma in their life, and, you know, and they're going to live that unless they really heal inside, you know, inside and out. So I just try to take a holistic approach and, you know, try to be a safe place and sounding board for people that are actually open to hearing how they could, you know, improve their health. Not everybody's going to be, unfortunately. It's just the world that we live in, but, you know, we need more of us.
Absolutely. Brandy, thank you so much for sharing and being with us, because you and I have to be the wellness and the health person for our families and for people who are stuck in their addictions. And I'm learning the hard way to let go of relationships that are not helping me to grow, and relationships that are not healthy. And at the same time, being my best healthy self. And my grandchildren call me Nature of the Future. Oh. I don't know where they came up with that name, but I like to think it's because they see me as representing that in their lives. And my granddaughter told me one morning, no lectures, please, no lectures. And so that's helped me not talk so much, but just represent health.
Absolutely. Yeah, lead by example.
Leading by example. So you are doing an absolutely great job of that, and I really appreciate your sharing and being here. And when I get to Georgia, I'm going to give you a call.
Thanks.
And we must sit down for tea or something and just give each other a hug. I'm a big hugger.
I love it.
My grandchildren don't like to hug every time, so I'm always looking for adults to hug. So let's get together and hug and talk more when we can.
I love it. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I'm sure everyone here has been blessed. Everybody's been kind of quiet today, but I know they've been good listeners. So that's what it's all about, being good listeners and responding with love and compassion and wisdom. So, again, have a great day, Brandy.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Okay. Bye, Viata.
Bye. And we're going to say goodbye to our global family now. Thank all of you for joining me today. And if you have any interest in Melaleuca, Brother Neil, I'm going to send you a text on how, if you're interested, how you might want to do, if you want to join the family, I'll send you a text on how you can do that. As well as if anyone else is interested, feel free to go to my website, yourholisticlifecoach.com.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba.
Sheshe.
Japan,
Zanyaba.
Arigato.
Arigato.
Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany,
Spasiba.
Danke. Poland,
Danke.
John Cunha. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy,
gracias.
Grazie.
Grazie.
Shukran. Ghana, Madasi. Nigeria,
Madasi.
Eshe. South Africa,
Eshe.
Nyabonga. Senegal,
Nyabonga.
Jerez. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Yogi friends out there, namaste and sat nam. And aloha to all my Hawaiian brothers and sisters. Stand strong in Lahaina and Maui. You've got this. Shalom.